morning. Thank you guys so much for having me. You're so sweet. I'm going to open us up in prayer. Gracious Lord, we just come to you and just give you thanks. Father, I thank you for this body. Lord, this body of believers who have been the hands and feet of Jesus in so many ways and loved and served my family personally. And I just thank you for the way that you are continuing to use High Point, and just pray that you would continue to use them to encourage and strengthen the believers here, and as they've got a heart to go and to serve in the DR and other dark places, I just pray that you would bless them. Father, I pray that you would just be with me this morning, that I would be a vessel to share what you would have me to share today. Father, I pray that it would be clear that you are the hero of the story, that you are the main character, and that we just get to go alongside. Thank you, God. Thank you for the way you carry us, and the way that you have been so strong and so faithful. We love you, and just pray that you would be glorified today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, good morning. So, I married to Mimi's grandson, Rob. And so, I have the blessing to get to live next door to Mimi, your teacher Jean here. I get to hear about you guys all the time. She's always sharing about you all, and I'm so proud of each of you. And so, and I just, I feel connected to you just from walking alongside with Mimi and hearing about all the things he's doing here, and just in the way that you guys have prayed for our family over the last 16 months especially. So thank you. I wasn't sure exactly where I was going to start. Just kind of been open to seeing what God wanted to share this morning. But Mimi did say that some of you may not know our story, and so I'm going to do my best to tell it. Bear with me. It's a little hard. So we actually came to this church for years. My husband and I have three children, and my kids grew up here. Maddie and Kinley were both really involved here. I was just laughing the other day. I remember when she did a t-shirt drive for an orphanage in Africa, and High Point gathered up, I think it was 700 t-shirts and $1,000 from the kids, from the kids' ministry. So it was so sweet that she got to be a part of that. Our family, I have two daughters, and then my son, Kaden, went to heaven back in April of 2020. We were able to raise our children and do a lot of mission work. God has blessed us with resources and opportunities to go to all sorts of different places. I think it would probably start back when the kids were young. Maddie was in fourth grade. Rob took us to a church in inner city Austin and said, "This is where I think we're going to start going to church." And we were the minority at the church. There was not a children's ministry, and there were really no families, like cohesive family units. It was a place where there was a lot of addiction, a lot of homeless, a lot of broken families. And Maddie was in fourth grade, Kinley was in second, and Kaden would have been just before kindergarten. I remember thinking, what? You want me to bring our kids here? Like, we're supposed to be at this church with a great children's program, and that's what I had envisioned for our family. But he said, "Christy, if we are pursuing the Lord and we love the Lord first, then our children will see that, and that will be the best thing to model for them." He knew that we had a heart for unreached people and for people that were overcoming addiction and in hard places, and so we started going to church there, and the kids jumped in and loved it, and started taking ownership of a lot of different ministries, and we were just blessed to get to serve, working in food banks and working under the bridge and teaching at sports camps and lots of different things there. So I would say that was where our kids really started to develop a heart for the Lord. Then we were able to take several different mission trips. We went to Greece, we went to the Dominican Republic, we went to Costa Rica, and we did this with our kids. We took them and they jumped in and became a part of the ministry. We left because I even remember one of my favorite stories was we went to Greece, and Kaden was 9, And he had been praying about this opportunity, and he was so excited to get to go and serve the Lord. We got there, and the first day, they put him in the section to serve tea and cookies. He was like, I've been ready to share the gospel with people. I've been ready to teach English. I've been ready to do all these things, and they just want me to serve tea and cookies. And he was kind of tearful that night, and I said, let's just pray that the Lord will give you your own ministry tomorrow. And so we prayed that night, and he really just asked the Lord to bring him a student, because we were there working with Syrian refugees, and we were teaching English through the Bible. And so he was praying for a student. So I was like, okay, we'll see what the Lord does. So the next day, we showed up, and there was a young man who was in his 20s. He had never been in a classroom. He didn't know how to read. He could barely speak English. He was just very timid. And he befriended Caden and said, would you be my teacher? Caden comes running up to me with this guy and goes, look, God answered our prayer. Here's my student. And so it was so sweet. He taught this young man, and Caden was the best teacher of all. He would write worksheets for him and give him Bible verses to memorize and pour it into him. So that was kind of the start of some of the ministry that we did as a family. So I'll fast forward to, we're super involved at our school. I taught at Hill Country Christian School of Austin, and our kids were all involved there. But April of 2023, our son went on a trip with some friends on a birthday party. And one of the boys really didn't know the Lord, and Caden was really worried about this kid. He knew of the Lord, but wasn't really walking with the Lord. So he had told me he was really going to pray for him and be with him. And they got there Friday, and I think Friday night, Caden led a Bible study with his friends and shared all about Acts. And so he encouraged all of them. And then the next day, he was riding with this young man and was on an ATV and had an accident and was total surprise. The Lord was with us from the very first moment. The whole time we were on the way there, the only thought that kept going through my mind was Jesus is our only hope. And it's true. You know, and it's things like this that I used to remember sitting with my family and thinking, if I went through something hard, I remember listening to Karen's story and thinking, could I have that kind of faith that it wasn't my faith that was the question to wonder. It's that God is faithful. And it wasn't anything to do with me. And going through something like this helps you to see that all the stuff we talk about, all the stuff we pray about, it's true. So our son Caden went to heaven, and a lot of things happened from there. My husband, if you don't know my husband, he's awesome. I was wishing he was here today. In the hospital room, when they told us about Caden, the first thing my husband did was just lift his hands and pray. And just thankful for that, to be near to a man like that. And so we just asked that the Lord would use this, and he has. So Caden went to heaven on Saturday, and then on Monday, Rob and my daughter Maddie went to the school and spoke at chapel and just encouraged the student body to pursue Jesus. And that they knew Caden's heart, and they knew what he was about. Caden, even though he was a freshman, he was a leader at the school and just had a big presence. And so he just encouraged them to press into the Lord during this time. What followed was like a revival at our school. The students started worshiping on campus, and they would worship all day long, and the teachers were trying to get them to go to class, and they would just skip and go to the gym. And that week they just prayed and worshiped all week at school. Caden's funeral was on Thursday, and we had a lot of people there to support us and encourage us through that. And that evening after his burial, we had hosted a Bible study called Ignite at our home since 2020. Caden was a big part of that. Maddie and Kinley both were leaders in that. And so we knew they were gathering that night, and I told Rob, I really think we're supposed to go. And so we showed up. It wasn't at our home because of the funeral and everything, so somebody else had hosted it that night. And we showed up, and there were 700 kids there. And yeah, it was crazy. And just kids just on fire for the Lord and crying out, and a lot of kids really hurting and questioning and wondering why, you know, why someone like Caden would leave us. But it gave us an opportunity for us to speak over them, and Rob shared and I shared, and then we had encouraged the kids to come back, and that a lot of the kids we had been discipling, we wanted to talk to them about what next steps in following Jesus look like. And so then the following Thursday, we ended up baptizing 85 kids in our swimming pool. So, yeah, so it was really sweet, some really sweet things that the Lord did. And I want to make it clear that was all God. That was all God. Just a few pictures. This is my family. This is Caden on the left. Maddie is our daughter, who is 21. And I believe Maddie came and spoke to you guys. She's amazing. She's a little warrior. She is a senior at Pepperdine and is a Bible major and a nonprofit minor. And she has a heart for unreached people groups. And so we'll see where the Lord's going to land her. Who knows? She's got lots of ideas and lots of things. But she's the one who went to Southeast Asia this summer and worked there. Mike Kinley is next to me. She is 19. And she's one of the most resilient, strong people that I know. She was diagnosed with diabetes when she was a junior in high school, and then losing Caden her senior year. She's faced a lot of things, but she's really just pressed into the Lord and been such a rock. She's a marketing major and is at Pepperdine and is going to study in London this school year. She leaves on Tuesday to go do that. But she also has a heart for ministry, and she's not sure exactly what she wants to do, but I could see the Lord using her in a thousand different ways. So that is our family. After Caden went to heaven, there were so many things that happened. One of the main things that people kept coming up to us was like, we really think you guys are supposed to be doing ministry. But one of the things that the Lord gave us in all of this is it would be really easy to count every day, you know, every day being, one more day without Caden, you know, can I make it one more day without Caden? And just having that mindset would be one that is like dreading every day, that we didn't want to live that way. Just as you shared, Caden's in heaven, you know, Caden ran before us. And so instead of living one more day past, let's look forward and let's think we're one day closer to being with Caden. We're one day closer to being with Jesus. And having that perspective. And so that was kind of a mantra that the Lord gave us. And so we started an organization, a 501c3 called One Day Closer. And the vision, the mission of it is dedicated to empowering and equipping a generation of believers that are passionate about living their faith out boldly to make disciples of Jesus Christ and spreading his name among the nations. That has been what our passion has been. Is to encourage and empower young people to go and make his name great. Caden wanted to be a missionary. That was his passion, and that was what we wanted to encourage other kids to do too, to use their gifts to glorify God. I hadn't planned to share this, but it was funny. The other day, the Lord, I was talking to him about that and saying, Lord, I don't understand why you would take someone so young who had such passion for you and who wanted to be a missionary and wanted to do all these things. And how does he use his gifts in heaven, you know? Because there's not lost people there. But the Lord showed me that the end result isn't, the heart of missions isn't to just make his name known, but it's that all people would worship him and that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess and every name would give glory to him. And that Caden has already reached that goal, and he is with all people doing just that. And that's the heart of missions, is to have worship of all his people. And he's already getting to experience the goal, which was just sweet. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about some of the ministries that we're doing. I knew that you guys are going to the DR, and so I wanted to talk a little bit about that. We have been to the DR, I think we've been six different times with two different organizations. And I thought I'd tell you just a little bit about some of the things that the Lord's doing there. If you haven't been to the DR or know anything about it, it shares a border with Haiti. And if you know anything about Haiti, it's one of the most poor, poverty-stricken countries in the world. And it's very heavily oppressed. A lot of witchcraft, just a lot of violence and just hard things in Haiti. And so a lot of refugees escape from Haiti to come into the Dominican Republic. But honestly, even the people in the DR don't have a lot of resources and money either. So there's kind of this strife between Dominicans and Haitians. We've gone and worked with the Haitian population, and we've gone to work with the Dominican population, both. But both groups really are impoverished and open to a relationship with God. This is my husband up here in the far left, praying over this man, Wilfredo. This was a sweet story. And I had just told Rob, I was like, you know, I really think that we need to just spend some time asking the Spirit to show us what we're going to do today. And so we sat down and just really prayed and asked for God to give us any images or any impress on our hearts, anything he had for us that day. And so Rob, afterwards, he's like, he didn't want to tell the whole group because he was like, it's kind of weird, but the Lord showed me that I am supposed to go and pray over someone and encourage someone who can't walk, a man who can't use his legs properly. So I was like, okay, well, let's look for that man. So that's who the Lord has his eye on today, and so we want to go and encourage him. And so we actually were going to a hospital that morning, and so I'm like, that's perfect, he's going to be at the hospital. So we got to the hospital, we went and prayed over all the different patients, and there was no man there like this. So I even went to the staff and said, do you have a man here, and like this? And they're like, no, why do you ask? And so I'm like, well, I told them, the Lord told us that we're supposed to go and encourage him. And so they kind of looked at us like we were crazy, but they couldn't find anyone. So I was like, okay. So we went into the little community and were praying over some different people. And right before we were to leave, Maddie said, I think we're supposed to go into that house. And so we went over into this home, and this man, Wilfredo, was sitting there. He had two chairs in his house and a bed and nothing else, like nothing in his home. So we came up, we had a translator, and introduced ourselves and started talking to him. He shared with us that he was paralyzed and that he couldn't use his legs or his one arm, but that he was a believer and that he had a close relationship with God, and that he had seven children, I believe, but they all lived far away, and that he often felt lonely. So Rob shares about how the Lord had told him about him and that he called to come and encourage him, and that the Lord had showed him that Wilfredo struggled with depression, and he just starts crying. He shared that every day he sits in his home and he asks for God to bring him food because he can't work, and that every day the Lord shows up and brings him food in some way, but that he often just still felt lonely. He often would find himself feeling depressed and sad. He felt guilty about that. And so we were able to say, look, the Lord sees you. He puts you on our hearts and encourage him and pray over him. And he just was a man of such joy, disregarding the hard circumstances that he was in. So that was just one sweet story that I wanted to share. Another was this sweet lady, Rosalita, who I'm hugging there in the corner. She actually, it was that same day, she was sitting outside the hospital. The Lord just drew me to her, and I was talking to her, and we connected that she had lost a child as well. And we talked about the hope of heaven, and just spent some time hugging each other. And here we are, you know, different as can be as far as so many ways, but the Lord had knit our hearts together in the hope of heaven and encouraging each other. And got to pray over her, and the Lord just moved in some really powerful ways in the DR. There's so much to share. So one of the things that we are doing with our ministry is we're taking people on mission trips, and then we are also leading retreats. So we held our first retreat last September, and we just invited kids in the Austin area, and we had 85 high school students come from 12 different high schools in Austin, And then we brought in 13 college students from 6 different universities and encouraged them, and we had worship. And, you know, you watch on the news and you might get discouraged about where this world's coming to, right? And think, where is the hope? What's happening to this generation? And I tell you, go and spend with a group of kids like this, and you realize the Lord is still working and the Lord is still moving, and there is hope for our future. But what was so sweet was that Saturday evening we had worship, and Rob gave a really powerful message on repentance, and we had kids just crying and pouring their hearts out to the Lord, and we had worship, and it was supposed to end at 10, so we had a closing prayer, and the kids just sat there. And we're like, we have games and fun things for you, and they just sat there, and they're like, no, we want more. And so we worshiped again some more, and we stopped, and they're like, no, we want more. And we worshiped until 1 a.m. It was just so sweet. That's what the kids wanted. They didn't want to go and play hide and seek or do games. They really just wanted to experience more of the Lord's presence. And it was just so sweet. And the Holy Spirit just fell on that group of students. I left encouraged. The college students left encouraged. And our hope is that those kids then went to their high schools and were ambassadors for Christ in their schools. So we're hosting another retreat. It's coming up September 20th through the 22nd, and we have 90 students that are signed up for that. And so I wanted to ask you guys to pray for that, and I'll share a little bit more coming up. But that's another thing that the Lord has been doing. This is Ignite. This is the study that I was telling you about that we started off in our home. Our daughter, Maddie, started with 12 kids in our house, and then COVID hit. So they started meeting on Zoom. That's what these high school kids did, which was so sweet. And then when they begged us, we finally let them meet in the backyard. And they were, what's so funny is I have pictures of them like 6 feet apart, you know, praying. And what was so sweet is they spent just time just praying. And a lot of their heart was repenting. And repenting not just for things in their own life, but repenting for generations before them, and crying out and asking for the Lord. That was during the George Floyd thing that was happening, and so they were crying out and just praying for the Lord to show up and use them, and praying against any strongholds that they had in their lives of racism, or, you know, it was just sweet to see these kids doing this. And so, and pray for revival. By the time Maddie graduated, we probably had about 50 kids. They showed up at our house every Thursday. And then Kinley stepped in, and Kinley took over, and she led the group. And we would have, you know, sometimes more, but generally around 50 students. It was sweet. Mimi actually got to share the last night that Caden was there for Ignite. She came in and shared, so she was our speaker for his last Ignite, which was super sweet. So this is another thing that we are supporting and encouraging. This group continues to meet every Thursday, and now they have 150, sometimes 200 kids. So it's really growing, and what's so sweet is it's all student-led. So we meet with a group of leaders, and we told them, hey, we are not spoon-feeding you and doing this. This is your ministry, and we are empowering you to do this. And so they do the worship, they do the speaking, they do the setup, they pick the topics, they do it all. Rob and I just meet and consult. That's kind of our job. Just look over what they're sharing, making sure that it's biblical truth, and encouraging them and giving them the resources to do it. But they do all the work. Then we decided, well, let's start a group for college students. So there are 40,000, I think, ACC students, and almost 60,000 UT students in this area, and then you've got Concordia, and so we were like, we really should start something like this for college students. And so this summer, we started hosting on Tuesday nights a dinner at our house, and they come and eat, and the kids share. It's smaller right now. I think we have like 20 kids, but they're finding community and connections. I know the Lord is using them there too. I shared with you a little bit earlier about how we were able to take our families and serve on the mission field when the kids were young. And that was one of the things. I had a lot of people come up to me, and, you know, Caden was just an awesome kid. I could tell you so many great stories about Caden. And people would just say, I remember a kid saying to me, you know what's funny, Miss Melissa? We don't even have to make it up. Like, he said, you know, a lot of times when somebody dies, you kind of make up stuff and you just remember the good stuff. We don't even have to make it up. It's all real. And I'm like, that's sweet. But a lot of people ask me, like, why do you think Kaden loved the Lord so much? Or why do your kids love the Lord so much? And I just thank the Lord for that. I never want to lose all in thinking that he chose us. And that he chose my kids to reveal himself. And so all the glory and honor goes to him. But one thing I can say is, as I looked over all the things I did with my kids after Kaden went to heaven, I mean, I'm thankful we did things like go to Disney World, but that's not really what I treasure. I'm not most proud that Kaden was on the honor roll every week or that he was an amazing football player. I'm most proud that he loved Jesus, that he shared the gospel and loved people. You can see Kaden's in the corner over there just crying. Praying for this young lady that shows his heart and his passion. That's him at 10. That was a picture from Greece. But one of the things I was so thankful that we did was mission trips as a family. Not many families get to do that. And there's a lot of mission trips for college students, a lot of mission trips for high school students, but not a lot of families have that opportunity or even know where to start. And so as I was praying through it, I was like, this is what I'm really thankful that we were able to do. And I believe it's a place that the Lord really met us and bonded us, not only with each other, but with him. And so as I was praying through this, the Lord gave me the idea to start doing family mission trips through One Day Closer. We are planning to lead 3 different mission trips this summer. And as I was thinking through what this would look like and talked to several different missionaries, one of the things that one of the missionaries said to me is like, well, Christine, not all families function like your family. Like, you know, we have family devotionals all the time and did things like we just left that kind of thing. That's not something that a lot of families do here in the States. So if you bring them over into Greece, how are they going to function differently? So I'm like, yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good thing to think about. And also, kids are going to also, they call it out, right? They're like, okay, mom and dad, why all of a sudden do we care? You know, we don't do this at home. Why all of a sudden do we care? And so I'm like, okay, how could we make this work? And so as I prayed through it, what the Lord gave me, and this is all still a work in progress. So we'll see what he shows us next. He gave me the idea to bring some of these college students that we have been discipling and to bring them as guides for the families. And so each family will have a college student that will be their mentor and who will share with the kids, encourage the kids, encourage the family, say, okay, now it's time to sit down and do our devotion. Now it's time to do this. You know, we're going to lead worship. We're going to have these things. And what I found too is, parents often don't give their kids enough credit. Like, they'll think, my kid can't do that, or my kid's not able, you know, they kind of can baby their kids. But my thought is, as college students, these guys can come along and go, no, your kid can do this. They can go and share the gospel. They can get to, you know, step up and do these things. And so that's the vision. We're planning to start a college discipleship program next summer. So right now what Rob and I are doing, we are going to go and visit. We've got several college campuses that have asked us to come and speak and share. And then we are going to recruit students. We have an application process that they will come and we'll vet out which students will be a part of that. But our hope is that 5 to 10 college students will come and spend the summer with us next summer, stay in host homes, and we'll disciple them. And then they will take families on mission trips. And then we're planning to do a lot of local work. We've got some things lined up with Pregnancy Crisis Center, the church that we used to work with downtown, the homeless, lots of like local ministries as well. And so that is all in place for next summer. Kind of next steps that we've got, you know, if you're thinking, oh, what do you guys have next? Or what's a way that we could get involved? We would love your support as a prayer team. I just want to take a second to encourage you. First off, I want to say I am honored to be here and see your pursuit of the Lord. And because I think so many people, they kind of think, oh, we retire, right? And we consume. I did all that work when I was young. But I just want to encourage you that the Lord still has more for you. He still has more for you. Mimi's living testimony of that. You know, to be 90 and just, I appreciate that about Mimi. But the way that you have circled my family and prayed for my family, one of the things that God showed me is the importance of the body of Christ. And on the days that I didn't feel like I could get out of bed, I knew people were praying for me. And I just want you to know your prayers are important and they are heard, and that the Lord still has things for you, no matter your age. A verse that I was reading about this was Psalm 71:18. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who are to come. And so I pray that verse over you, that you would know that he continues to have more for you. And whether that is praying, whether that's showing up and encouraging each other to keep pursuing Jesus, whether that's to just spend time in the Word and in his presence, I just encourage you to continue. He sees you, and you're bringing honor to him. So, joining the prayer team, we are also, because it's all brand new, we can use financial support. And several of you, y'all are so sweet. Y'all supported my sweet Maddie. That was just such a blessing to her when she came and shared. But financial support is one way that you could help spreading the word and just telling others if you know of others that could benefit. If you have a family, you want your grandchildren to go on a mission trip, tell them about One Day Closer. Encourage your own children, grandchildren to be involved. And then I have a newsletter that I can give you guys if you would like to know about future things that God is doing with our ministry. But these are ways to evolve in our next steps with One Day Closer. And then this is some things for Maddie. I had so much to share with you, I wasn't sure exactly what. For One Day Closer Project, one of our things was based on this verse. And then I'm going to tie this in with Maddie and kind of wrap it up here. But Matthew 24:14 says, "The gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So one of the things that the Lord really showed us when we were One Day Closer is we're ready for heaven. We're so ready to go and to be with Jesus and for him to come back. And if we can have any part in that and sharing with other people and unreached people groups about just the beauty of Christ and the gospel, then we want to do that. And so our desire is to preach this powerful and unwavering hope because we've experienced it ourselves. And one of the things that we've been doing is Maddie was able to go and serve in Southeast Asia. I think she shared a little bit with you guys, but it is the most predominantly Muslim country in the world. She said when she got there, she realized she understood why it was unreached, because there were a lot of barriers that she faced. She said it was tough. One of the things is in their country, they have identity cards that each person has. It's like, I guess, kind of like a social security card for us, but it's an ID card that they have to carry with them everywhere they go. And on that ID card, it has not only their information, but it has what religion they proclaim and what religion they follow. And there are only 7 religions that are allowed. Christianity is one of them. But to switch your ID card, you have to go through this really big, long process that takes 2 years. And to switch from being Muslim to being a Christian is going to bring havoc on your family. They say they're not persecuted, but they're very persecuted. You know, on their ID card, if they see that they're a Christian, then they're probably not going to get the jobs that they want, or they're going to have higher interest rates. There are just a lot of things that are up against them. And to switch from being another religion, whether that's Buddhist or Muslim or whatever, to being a Christian, their families will abandon them because they don't want to be a part of that. And so Maddie just faced time and time again, that was a barrier that the enemy has put into place. But she said that people were receptive. This was a sweet story. The lady that's sitting with her, they're holding her hand. She had gone to her home, and She had a son who was, I think he was disabled in some way, and couldn't speak. And the people there believe that if you have a child with a disability, then you're cursed. And they are, you know, should be kind of hidden and not talked about. And it's like a curse on your family. And so Maddie was like, well, I want to meet your son. And so she went and met her son and prayed over him and spoke truth and life over the family and said, this is not how Jesus sees your son. Jesus sees your son as whole and pure and good and a gift from God, and encouraged her and shared the gospel with her. And look, she said the lady just cried and had said nobody had ever spoken words like that about her son before. And Maddie had told me it was sweet because she said before she went, she asked that this lady would see Jesus in her. And the lady kept saying, I keep looking at your face and I see something that I've never seen before, you know. And Maddie's like, well, that's Jesus, you know. And that, and she's like, and I prayed that very prayer that you would see Jesus in me. So the Lord is doing a work. Maddie said often she would share and it didn't feel like they were as receptive, that maybe the gospel was shared, but their faces seemed like stone cold, like they weren't open to the gospel. But she said, one of the things the Lord shared with me, and I thought this was beautiful, was that maybe the gospel had never been shared in this region and in places that she had gone. And even if they didn't accept Christ, that the fact that she brought his spirit, right, because his spirit lives inside of Maddie, and she housed his living spirit and brought it into those dark places that had never been before, even if there wasn't change per se, that people weren't coming to him, that the Lord still received glory. Mm-hmm. And that he would continue the work that he started, look like what we expected, and that God, who began the good work within us, will continue to do it, right, until it is finally finished on the day that Jesus Christ returns. I say that to you to just encourage you. Even when things don't seem like they're changing, it feels like you're just trying to make it get through, and that bringing God glory and honor, even in those hard times, still he sees that and says, well done, good and faithful servant, even if we don't see the numbers and the progress that we're hoping for. Pray for our family. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.